show.
Now, it's so rare when we talk politics on the show. I mean, this is a real rarity. Remember that call from a few minutes ago? Yeah, we don't do that. No, we're kidding. We started doing something almost 2 years ago. It's a long time ago, where we reached out to the Penn State College Republicans and College Democrats, because you got two slightly older folks here.
What? Sorry, how dare you?
Sorry, buddy. I'm just being honest. And we wanted to know, what are young people thinking when it comes to politics? Well, Penn State has a College Democrats group, College Republicans group. So we reached out, and last year, or over 2 years, we had a number of different guests with interesting views. Now, fall semester started a month ago, and reached out again before the Charlie Kirk incident. And we've heard back from both. College Democrats, we need to do some scheduling because those folks have morning classes. Luckily, our friend Tristan here has absolutely nothing to do on Wednesday mornings. Hi, Tristan.
Hi. I'm doing well. How are you? Right.
From the College Republicans, who now have official College Republican clothing. That's very nice.
It is.
Thank you.
It is. It's sharp looking.
Yeah, we're going to be making more, you know, if you're interested.
I am interested.
Okay, get one.
I got to get my
one for him. All right. Tristan, we got a lot of things to talk about. But first off, let's start about you. Tell us something about yourself. Where are you from? What class are you? Like senior, junior stuff. What are you studying? What would you like to do with whatever it is you're studying? All right, tell us about you.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Bucks County, Newtown, Pennsylvania, so out on the eastern side of Pennsylvania, and right now I'm a junior. I'm studying political science and philosophy, and, you know, my goal is to go to law school. I want to be a JAG officer in the Pennsylvania National Guard. I'm in ROTC right now, so I'm going to go on, do that, and, you know, have a role in public service, help, you know, support our country.
Okay. You're from Bucks County. What town?
Newtown, Pennsylvania.
Newtown. All right, gotcha. I tell you, Bucks County has gotten a lot of publicity in the last several years, I guess, when it comes to politics. So, I mean, what's going on in Bucks County? Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, suburban Philadelphia. What's going on down there?
Yeah, I mean, it really is a bellwether county, and we just saw that the voter registration in Bucks County flipped from Democrat to Republican. And that's part of a larger trend, because right here in Center County, the same thing happened last year, a little after the election. And now in Pennsylvania at large, it's narrowed down to about 50,000 between registered Democrats and registered Republicans. So it's part of the wider trend that we're seeing of more people registering Republican and kind of narrowing that gap in Pennsylvania, which, you know, has been shown through the electoral trends with, you know, President Trump carrying it and, you know, a lot of all of our row offices went Republican. Senator Dave McCormick won. It's part of the larger trend. And, you know, in 2024, that was the first time President Trump won in Bucks County. And, you know, that's a really big development and really shows you where Pennsylvania is going.
All right. Let's stick with Bucks County, though. Why the change? When I think suburban Philadelphia, I think blue. I don't think red. I think blue. What has changed down there? Is it all Donald Trump? Is that it?
I think a big part of it is President Trump and kind of his changing message in the Republican Party, where he was reaching out to not just the suburban folks, but also the people that are in the working class communities in Lower Bucks. You know, a lot of the towns that have been left behind, he was reaching out to those people, and that's why he was doing so well in places like Erie, doing so well in places like Scranton, and why we've seen kind of that demographic of, you know, the working class, the old industrial towns that have fallen away due to, you know, a lot of these trade deals that we saw, like NAFTA. And that is a big part of it. And then also a lot of the issues, you know, there was so many people that were affected in Bucks County from the COVID shutdowns, just like everywhere else. And I think a lot of parents didn't want to see that continue and didn't want to see, you know, vote for someone who put these strict lockdowns on their children. And I think that was a big part of it as well.
All right. Talk about your group, College Republicans. How many people? Is it growing? How often do you meet? Talk about your group.
Yeah. So we meet every Monday in the Willard Building at 8 p.m., and we've definitely seen a lot of growth, especially in the past 2 years. And one of the shocking things, I think, was that our numbers and our engagement on campus has gone up this year compared to last year. And I think that's very interesting that young people are even more interested in politics now and more interested in Republican politics, conservative politics, after the presidential victory. We had so many people after President Trump won say, hey, we found out about you guys because of the Trump rally when he came on campus and Glenn Thompson talked about our organization. And so it's really allowed us to do more and to, you know, help spread the message and also influence politics, whether that's here in Pennsylvania or going to New Jersey. We're going out there to help Jack Cittarelli for the governor's election. And so it's really allowed us to, you know, capitalize and create a bigger impact and help, you know, drive forward the kind of the Gen Z vision of the Republican Party and of politics in the future of the country that we want to see.
Yeah. It's interesting. The So when I was in school, way back when, late 80s, early 90s, a group of my friends and I listened to Rush Limbaugh every afternoon, and we felt like we were rebels because it's like, man, this isn't what we're getting in school. When we loved, I mean, we would talk about the show, and man, that was a great singer there. That was a cool perspective here, and I mean, it was just fun. And I think what Rush Limbaugh did was tap into a large section of the population that wasn't sure that there were others that thought like us on a public scale. And it's like, oh, wait, no, my gosh, look at all these other people that are listening. What I find fascinating about Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, and it sounds like what you guys were already doing with the college Republicans, is the outreach. Again, we felt like we were being reached too, and we were satisfied with that. It's like, oh, cool, there are other people that think like us. I loved what Charlie Kirk did and again, what it sounds like you guys are doing, which is, hey, yeah, we think like this, and we know there are others that think like this, but we want more people that maybe don't know why we think like this to understand, hey, this is why we think this is the path forward, and engaging other people, which is clearly the next step. And I think it is why it does feel like there is a real surge here. I don't even know that I'd term it Republican as much as conservatism. And, yeah, man, this just makes a lot of sense once it's explained and you get by some of the catchphrases that the other side likes to throw out there. I'm just wondering your perspective as you're growing up, kind of how you matriculated toward becoming part of the College Republicans, and just your view of what your role is here on the political landscape.
No, absolutely. And I think Charlie had a big impact on that, because a lot of people on campus were more scared about showing their conservative beliefs and speaking out. And it wasn't until this year with the election when Charlie came on campus and handed out, and you saw people for days wearing MAGA hats afterwards, people being more proud of what they believed in. And then we had President Trump come to campus and seeing how many people showed out for him, how many students. We had a whole student section, it was packed. And then on election day, we handed out thousands and thousands of Trump signs. And I think people kind of realized that this is something they could be more open about. They didn't have to be afraid of. And I think that's where Gen Z is kind of taking the next step, where we're saying, like, yeah, we believe these things, and we all have learned this, whether it's through Charlie Kirk or through our parents or however you came to these beliefs, but we also want to have an impact. And this is what social media has done, is because we're able to now have that voice and engage with the people that are making the policy decisions, whether it's politicians, whether it's doing things like Charlie did, where he's coming and saying, hey, I want to hear what the young people have to say. I want to hear what you guys' opinions are. And I think that's what's so special, and that's kind of something that drew me into getting more involved in politics, is like, especially nowadays, especially with the internet, especially with social media, young people can have a voice, they can get involved, and we don't have to be the future of the country or the future of the party. We can be the president of the party. We can be the ones that are making the changes right now. And I think that's what you've seen, and that's why you've seen so many young people get involved in politics. You know, Run Gen Z is a big organization that has been promoting young people running for office. We just had a state senator out in Philadelphia, Joe Picozzi. He was 29 when he ran, and he won his election. He's a newest state senator. And he's a young Republican, and that's what we need to see is more young people getting involved. And I think this is the generation that's going to show, like, hey, you know, our founders, a lot of them were young people. A lot of them were our age. All these major companies, you look at the major tech companies, they're all founded by young people. Mark Zuckerberg was in college when he started Facebook. We can have the impact, and we have had the impact, and young people need to know that they're able to go out there and make a difference.
All right. Here's a tangent question, Tristan. And I've been thinking about this for the last 2 weeks since what happened. If anybody is irreplaceable, all right, Charlie Kirk was only 31. How old are you?
I just turned 21.
Okay. Go have a beer. All right, there we go. All right. Legally. All right, thank you very much. So 31 is still young. Tristan, I'm 62. Okay, take Charlie's age and double it and you get me. All right, that's sad. He's gone now. Charlie Kirk is gone now. He was fantastic with these college appearances, okay? But I saw a story this week, the tour's continuing, but obviously it won't be Charlie. Apparently it won't be his wife, all right, Erica. Apparently it's not going to be her. The names I've seen are Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Glenn Beck. Now, those are three well-known people, like on television and so on, but they're not young people. If one of those three came to this campus, Tristan, I mean, would people be as excited for that as they would be if it was Charlie Kirk coming again? Not a young person.
Yeah, I mean, I know Tucker's very popular among young people, but he doesn't have that same connection that Charlie did, because Charlie, one, you know, he was a young person. He started Turning Point at 18 years old, and that was a very special connection that a lot of people had with Charlie and him coming here, a lot of people getting to meet him, and I think that's why you saw at the vigil we held last Thursday, we had hundreds of students come out because they had that special connection. So yeah, I don't think there's anyone that's able to kind of replace him, whether it's on the tour or whether it's on the impact that he had with young people.
Is that bad? From
yeah.
your perspective as a Republican especially, is that bad?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a very sad thing. It's definitely going to be something where there's, you know, there's difficulties in moving on. But I think what we've seen is, I know multiple people have joined our organization, got involved with leadership after what happened to Charlie, saying, before, I didn't want to get involved in politics. I was either scared to share my beliefs or I didn't think it was something that I was really interested in. But now I feel like I don't have a choice. After what happened to Charlie, after his assassination, I need to get involved and I'm going to go out there. And so I don't think we know now who will be the one who's able to have that next connection with the young people and replace Charlie. But I think there's going to be thousands and thousands of young people that are going to take up the mantle and continue his work. And that broader impact is going to be able to help carry Gen Z and help advance the conservative movement among the young people.
Very interesting. All right, we'll see if that happens. Okay. All right. Now, Tristan, you're 21. God forbid I'm three times your age. That's really sad. A good question. Your opinion. What does the Republican Party stand for today? Things have changed over my lifetime. All right. From a young person's perspective, what does the Republican Party stand for today?
Yeah, I think if you look at what a lot of young people are looking for in their conservative party and what Donald Trump has brought to the conservative party, is that young people are seeing it's about American sovereignty and it's about rebuilding the American dream. Because the American dream that, you know, my parents and my grandparents had the opportunity to take advantage of doesn't really exist for young people. A lot of young people are not able to get good, well-paying jobs. They're not able to graduate from college and build a life and buy a home. And so that's the biggest thing. And that's the thing that, you know, when Donald Trump goes out there and talks about Make America Great Again, it's about returning hope for the American people that they can have a better future, that their lives and that their children's lives will be better than it is right now. And so I think that's the biggest thing about the Republican Party, is that, you know, the Republican Party needs to be the party of hope, needs to be the party of change, that we're going to rebuild the country to be what it once was so that people can succeed and have a better future and have a better life. And then on the other hand, it's American sovereignty. It's saying that, you know, we're going to return the governance of the country to the American people so they can have a voice, and we're not going to have it done by unelected bureaucrats, and we're going to return sovereignty to our borders to make sure that, you know, we have law and order in the country and that we don't have mass illegal immigration, and that we're able to, you know, make sure that we have a country that is prosperous and is helpful for young people specifically to be able to succeed.
All right. Now, Tristan, Donald Trump is done as president in January of 29, no matter what the rumors say. Okay. All right. Okay. There's the first question. If somehow, and folks, this will not happen, okay, but if somehow the rules could be changed, would you want him for a third term?
Well, he's done a great job. I don't know. I feel like you got to let him. He's done so much for the country. Like, he deserves a break. He deserves. He's going to be, I forget how old.
His early 80s.
His early 80s. Like, you know, he's done so much for the country. Like, let's let him rest. You know, let him have a good time. Go on the beach. Enjoy Mar-a-Lago. And I think it will be good to have someone who takes up the mantle of President Trump and who can succeed him and really follow in his footsteps. And I think if that's a young person, that would be even better to kind of bring that message and have the youthful energy to carry on the movement after him.
All right, you follow this. Who's the next person?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be definitely a contentious primary. I mean, it looks like J.D. Vance is, you know, obviously he's the vice president, is going to be one of the people who's probably most likely to succeed him. And so, you know, J.D. Vance could be a great person. But also, if you look back, I mean, before 2015, people had no idea that, you know, President Trump is going to be running for president and Donald Trump's going to be the next nominee and he's going to be the next president. So there's always a chance that you have a wild card, that you have someone that you're not expecting. And so that'll be interesting to see. You know, I think J.D. has done a good job as vice president and he could make a great president. And I'm excited to see who else runs and what the conversation is looking like in another 3 years.
All right. Vance is relatively young.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. Okay. What if some old guy suddenly shows up? Would a young person, or would young people back an older guy, or do they really want, you mentioned earlier, we really want a younger guy, maybe like Vance. Marco Rubio, yeah, he's younger too. You definitely want a younger person. You don't want an older person.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that a lot of people are talking about on campus. Was during 2024, they're like, oh, well, you know, both candidates are so old. Like, we want someone younger. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, President Trump's done so well. He has that energy, even if he maybe, you know, in his late 70s,
79,
he still has that energy and he still has that force and that will to carry forward his agenda that the country wants to see put in place. But it would be really great to see a young person. I know it was very inspiring for a lot of young people to see, you know, JD's 4 years old. He's, you know, technically still in the age range for young Republicans because that's 18 to 40. And so a lot of people are very excited to see that. I'm very inspired to see someone who came from humble beginnings end up vice president at such a young age. So I definitely think a lot of young people, and it would be a great pool for young people if it was a younger person running for president.
All right. Before we take a break, what is your opinion of the other side?
Yeah, I mean, we work very well with the College Democrats. They're very great. And so we have a high opinion of them. They joined with us for the 9/11 memorial. A lot of their members came out for Charlie Kirk's vigil. And I was, you know, very touched by that. It was really great to work with them.
Okay, not so much the College Democrats, because I know your friends. The folks that we talked to previously were acquaintances.
Yeah.
And when we were done doing interviews, they would shake hands and talk to each other. I thought, this is really cool, because the older folks certainly aren't doing this. I'm talking about, in general, Democrat Party, the folks at the top. What's your opinion of them?
Yeah, I think the party is really lost right now. I think that's the biggest thing, is that they could not reach out to young people and have a compelling vision for them to follow, which is why you saw young people swing so hard for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump had a vision of what he wanted the country to be. And really, Kamala Harris didn't have that. She didn't really have a compelling vision. That's why you saw her campaign really, you know, taper out among young people after the summer. Like, they did not have the energy. And so they need someone who's going to be able to fix that problem, unite the party, and I can't find someone that really has that, that has that voice, that has that unifying presence that President Trump has done for the Republican Party. And they're kind of lost is the probably the best way to put it.
All right, before we take a break, now, I asked earlier, what does the Republican Party stand for? Your opinion now, as a Republican, what does the Democrat Party stand for? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like the Democrat Party stands for a lot of, I would say they stand for a lot of special interests, a lot of interests that isn't necessarily to the benefit of all of the American people, because they will focus on a lot of small groups and different interest groups and different demographics and not focus on the country at large, not focus on, you know, what is the best for all of the American people, what is the best to return to a prosperous nation. And they are focused on these tiny little issues on demographics that are 2% of the population or something like that. And I think that's the biggest problem they have, is they're not looking out there and saying, we're going to reach out to all of the American people and present a vision for all of the American people. And that's what I feel like President Trump has done, because Make America Great Again doesn't say, oh, we're only making America great again for these people who were aggrieved, you know, 300 years ago. It's saying, hey, all of the American people need to come together. We need to be unified. We need to have one strong voice and say, we're going to make the country great again. And that's what I want to see. And I think that's what a lot of young people want to see, because they want to have that opportunity in their future. And which is why I've seen a lot of young people go and break for Donald Trump in 2024. And I think they're going to remain with the Republican Party because of that.
All right. Let's take a break right here. Our guest is Tristan Kilgore from the Penn State College Republicans. Tristan, when we come back, I'm going to say, okay, what are the hot issues for you guys today? All right, because there's a slew of them. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with 98.7 The Fox. On the
It is Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
All right. Again, we're talking with Tristan Kilgore of the Penn State College Republicans for another segment. All right, Tristan, I set the table for you. For you, your group, whatever you guys are talking about right now, what are the hot issues? I mean, tell us, maybe especially just in general or for young people in particular, what are the hot issues right now?
Yeah, I know the biggest issue for young people is having that ability to achieve the American dream. So better opportunities, better jobs, you know, a better housing situation, lowering the cost of living. That's the biggest thing. And I know President Trump has done a lot of great work with that. I know one of the biggest things recently that came up was the new changes to H-1B visa policies. And I know that was something that was a big conversation during the election. And I am very glad that that was done because we want to see that these higher level, high skilled jobs are going to Americans first. It is ridiculous to say that, you know, we're asking young people to go to college, take on, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And then when they graduate, they're not going to be able to get a job because we're taking in people from other countries to take these high skilled jobs. That is not the American dream. That is not what the government should be doing. We should be promoting that, hey, the American students that we have that are the best of the best that are succeeding, they should be the ones getting these jobs. And we shouldn't be outsourcing that, whether that's moving jobs overseas or bringing in foreign workers to take those jobs here.
All right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. I was going to say, I'm going to put my devil's advocate hat on now, Tristan, okay? First off, I think a lot of people, when this story hit the other day, they don't know what H-1B, they have no idea what that is. This is for a visa for people from other countries to come in, usually high-tech jobs. And there was a fee. It was $5,000. You had to pay $5,000 to get one of these visas. President Trump wants to change that to $100,000. Tristan, 5 to 100? Come on.
Yeah, well, come on. So, I mean, the point of that is to incentivize companies to hire American workers.
Yes.
It should not be cheaper to hire someone from outside the country to take a job that American can do. And if you look at it, it just came out that the unemployment rates for American college graduates is higher than the average rate of unemployment in the entire country. For young people who graduated college, their unemployment rate is higher. And that shows you that the education system and the American economy is not working for young people. And changes like this to the H-1B visa policy is what is necessary to make it so that Americans can succeed after they graduate college.
All right, now here's the argument, though, from the other side, okay? They're saying, again, these are like high-tech jobs, like computers and stuff like that. They're saying, we don't have enough American young people to do this. We have to go overseas and bring smart people over here so that they can get this stuff done because we don't have them here. All right, Tristan, what do you say to that?
Yeah, and my response to that would be kind of twofold. Is one, if you look at the unemployment rates, there's a ton of American graduates that are looking for jobs, especially if you look at some of these tech jobs, the computer science field. The job market for computer science majors after they graduate is so tough. They're not able to find jobs. A lot of them are not using their degrees. And so that's the one thing. One, we have the Americans that graduated, have these degrees, and are able to do that. They have the skills to do that. But the jobs are already full from people on H-1B visas or, you know, other situations where, you know, there's people working those jobs already. And I think the other part of it is that President Trump is not restricting the ability for companies to bring in workers from outside the United States to train Americans. So if you look at it, he just struck the deal with South Korea where they're able to bring over their workers to train Americans on this manufacturing robotics technology so that we can have high-skilled workers in the United States. And that's kind of the difference. It's like we're able to, you know, use the skills that people in other countries may have by training Americans, and then Americans are able to have those skills and work those jobs.
Do you does it feel like there is a surge? Maybe we're too early to see it in the wake of Charlie Kirk. I know you talked about it in the wake of the election, which I think, from a conservative's perspective, is great to hear. But does it feel like there's now maybe another wave coming of, yeah, let's really look, because I have seen, and it's very anecdotal, but I actually have a couple of friends who's like, I had never even heard of Charlie Kirk, or I was aware, but I've only seen, you know, the snippets, and now actually listening and going back and watching the videos, it's like, holy cow, like, this was very impactful, and despite the stuff I'm hearing about him being racist and hateful, I can't find any evidence of it, because everything I'm seeing is just the opposite when you actually sit down and watch the videos. I'm just wondering, do you think we're going to see kind of another surge here of conservatism, Republican Party, in the wake of this?
We definitely are. I mean, we're seeing it on campus already. The amount of people that are wanting to get involved in politics is larger than ever. It's larger than the 2024 election. More people are interested in getting involved in politics and feel like they have to get involved in politics after, you know, Charlie Kirk's assassination compared to the 2024 election. They're saying, hey, like, this is a situation where this was a normal guy. He was not an elected official. He was not in a position of power. He was just a normal guy. He was a young person, just like me. He started this organization when he was my age. And if people are going to get assassinated for going out and talking their beliefs as a young person with no power, no political office, then I need to speak up, because this is wrong. This is evil. And we must stop this if we're going to be able to, you know, continue on as a nation.
All right, foreign policy. All right, you got Israel, Gaza, you got Ukraine, Russia, you've got President Trump yesterday telling Ukraine, yeah, you can get all your land back. Yeah, I've changed my mind, essentially. I think you can get all your land back. I'm not sure how Ukraine's going to do that unless we help them. What's your opinion on all those things?
Yeah, I mean, I know this is a big part of President Trump's negotiation tactics, I would say, because I don't know how reasonable, unless the United States went to war with Russia, it would be for them to get back all the land, including Crimea, which has been, you know, Russian for a decade. I just want to see peace. That's the biggest thing. America should not be going to war with Russia. We should not be going to war with Iran. We should be bringing peace. That's what President Trump ran on. That's why a lot of young people supported him. So many young people would come to me and talk about how they were scared about going to war with Russia. They were scared about World War III. And they supported President Trump because he was the peace president. He was the president of no new wars. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that, yeah, I think a lot of the rhetoric from President Trump is done for negotiation tactics. You know, this is the art of the deal. This is how you negotiate. But I think at the end of the day, we need to stay in the position of, we want to bring peace to these regions. We don't want to see the war. We don't want to see the death. We don't want to see the killing. And we don't want to see America get involved in another endless war overseas. It's not good for our people, and it's not good for anyone, because we don't want to see the death toll.
All right, devil's advocate again, Tristan. There are bad guys around the world. They're there. They're not going anywhere. At some point, we have to deal with them. We'd prefer to deal with them over there than over here. But at some point, I mean, more military-type stuff. Young people, I mean, it sounds great. Yeah, we want peace and so on. Sometimes you got to come out with a big fist, or the big stick, as Teddy Roosevelt used once upon a time. All right, would young people be totally against this?
Well, I think young people know, like, if there is a necessary situation where we have to use military force to protect the country, then we should do that. But that doesn't mean going on, foreign escapades to invade countries or pursue regime change, because young people, we grew up with seeing the failures of Iraq, the failure of Afghanistan, the failure of Libya. Like, it has never worked. It has never worked. Every time we've pursued regime change, it has failed. And we don't want to see that continue. Yes, we should not stand and support, you know, terrorist regimes or anything like that. We should work against them. But that doesn't mean we need to send Americans to go fight them. We can empower our allies to fight them overseas, but we don't necessarily need to have Americans doing that. And if we pursue a policy where we're able to, you know, work with foreign governments and build better relations, then we wouldn't have all the conflict that we see right now.
All right. Do you watch late night TV?
Occasionally, not too much.
Oh, come on, Tristan. When I was in school, it was Johnny Carson, God forbid, back then, but I watched that stuff. All right, this whole Jimmy Kimmel dust-up over the past week or so. All right, your perspective. What do you think about all this?
Well, it's really sad to see people going out there and either supporting or belittling the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's really disheartening because we know that that will only continue to raise the temperature, only continue to get more people possibly killed. I mean, you saw an assassination attempt on President Trump and he was shot and people celebrated that. And then you saw another assassination attempt on President Trump and that guy was just convicted yesterday. And people were celebrating that. And people continue to say, you see on TikTok all the time, people say like, oh, we hope the thing happens, talking about President Trump dying or President Trump being assassinated. So you see people supporting that. And then you see now Charlie Kirk gets assassinated because of that same rhetoric. And then people are celebrating that. And it's really unacceptable. And I was really glad to see, you know, the college Democrats and a lot of Democrats come out against this. But to see professors, to see people like Jimmy Kimmel, who have a platform, who have a voice, say, you know, either celebrating it or belittling it or blaming people who have no involvement in it, saying, oh, it was a conservative that did it when there was no evidence of that and he didn't really know. That kind of divisive thing, just placing the blame, is only going to continue to raise the temperature and continue to get people killed. And we can't have this in the country. If we want to have a successful democratic republic, if we want to have our system continue, we need people to be able to go out there and denounce violence. And, you know, I was glad to see Jimmy Kimmel apologize, but we shouldn't have people saying that, and it shouldn't be tolerated in the country.
I'm not sure he quite apologized last night. Maybe he kind of danced
it was
around
like
it
a little bit.
Now, should that kind of speech be shut down, Tristan?
Well, I think, one, people have the First Amendment. People have freedom of speech. They can say what they believe. But I don't think, you know, news channels or universities should tolerate, you know, their professors going out there and saying that, because that's not right, especially for professors who are going to be teaching young people and educating them and being the people that we're supposed to look up to and learn from. Universities should not be tolerating that. And that's not to say people's First Amendment rights should be restricted. But if you're going to go out in there and celebrate the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you know, you should lose your job, because that's not a proper thing to do if you're supposed to be a role model for students.
Now, you've said universities, professors a couple of times. You go to a university.
Yes, I do.
Are you saying this is happening over there?
I think we at Penn State are extremely lucky. We have great professors, and I haven't seen that happen once. There's been no professors celebrating Charlie Kirk's death at Penn State, and I'm really glad that the, you know, university administration here at Penn State is supportive. They make sure that people aren't going to be saying things like that. They definitely understand the impact that Charlie had. They saw when he came to campus how many young people, how many students are supportive of him. And I'm very happy to say that we haven't seen one professor celebrate or belittle the death of Charlie Kirk.
All right. Now, we've debated this on the show many times. Cancel culture used to always come from the left. In the last 2 weeks, Tristan, it sure looks like it's starting to come from the right. Oh, no, that's just a left-wing thing. I don't, this is my opinion now, I don't think so. You mentioned something a minute ago about, well, maybe you should lose your job for stating something like that. I know, Tristan, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I think, you know, you definitely have a good point there. You know, people do have the First Amendment, and we don't want to say, like, oh, we're going to cancel you. But I think if you look at the difference between what the left was canceling people for, I mean, people got banned for saying, you know, just benign things about, hey, like, you know, we should build a wall, like, we shouldn't have, you know, mass immigration, and they would get banned on YouTube for that. Or they would get, you know, banned on YouTube for saying very simple things. And I think it's not too, you know, strict of a line to draw to say, like, hey, if you celebrate someone getting murdered, maybe that's a little too far to be having a late night show and to be teaching students that it's a good thing to assassinate your political opponents. So I think that is a line where you can say, like, you know, if you're advocating violence, you should be canceled.
All right. I've got a wrap up on our Mr. Ironhead. You got something?
Well, we got to get to the important stuff of the day. What's happening here Saturday night at Beaver Stadium? What's the prediction here?
I think the prediction is that the Penn State Nittany Lions are going to go out there and they're going to beat the Oregon Ducks, and then we're going to have a national championship team coming up.
That is taking a stand, my friends. I'm telling you.
What do you expect him to say?
Are you going to the game?
I'll be out there. I didn't get season tickets this year, sadly. So I don't know if I'll be in the game, but I'll be out there tailgating, and then I'll be watching.
Gotcha.
All right. Final thing. I mean, your group, you mentioned you, I think you said you, the group meets every Monday night or something like that. You have some upcoming, I don't know, activities? Do you have any activities that are public? In other words, not just students, like anybody could go to.
Yeah, so, I mean, our meetings are open to the public, so we meet.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they are. Okay. We meet Monday at 8 p.m. in Willard 160. But our next big events that we have coming up, I think the biggest thing is that we are going to New Jersey to go knock doors. We're doing a deployment with all of the Pennsylvania College Republicans, not just Penn Staters. We're doing it with New York College Republicans, New Jersey College Republicans. Mm-hmm. We're having people across the country come out to go to the Jersey Shore and go knock doors, a very important area for Jack Cittarelli. And so that's a big thing that's coming up October 25th. We're going to be doing that. And then, you know, we have Election Day coming up, and we're going to be tabling out there in the hub, supporting our judicial candidates. So there's big things coming up. We're going to have some more events that we're working on. We have our Pennsylvania Collegiate Leadership Conference, the third annual one. That's going to be January 16th to 17th. That's open to everyone. We bring out great speakers. Last year, you know, we had multiple congressmen. We had some great speakers, and it's a really good time. So I would encourage everyone to come out to that.
Great. I'm blanking. Do you have a website?
We do, PennStateGOP.org.
Okay. So spelled out, PennStateGOP.org.
Yep, that's correct. And then we're on Instagram, TikTok, X, everything.
Wow.
All those things that young people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't latched onto TikTok yet. I've seen some stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Look at that. You got to get clips from the show. Put on TikTok. There you go. You'll blow up.
That absolutely has to happen.
Maybe. Okay. Hey, it was great to have you. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Again, we hope to get somebody from the College Democrats. We just have to make the schedule work. All right. It's.
I got to stop scheduling these 8 o'clock classes. Wait, what are you doing?
Apparently every
it's too
day.
Too early. I'll never know. Take one, you know?
All right. But thanks for coming over. And good luck to you and your group.
All right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it was great to be
time.
On.
I appreciate the perspective.
All right. We're going to take a